Hey guys, it's Seth back with Southwest Ohio Full Court Press. I know we've had some time off here, but we've got a pretty interesting series that Tony and I are going to be bringing to you here over the next couple of weeks. We'll be putting out this content in increments here, little by little, but I will let Tony explain a little bit more about what to look forward to.
So I don't want to tease too much because, again, we want to kind of give you guys stuff to look forward to every week. But Seth and I had the idea of doing some interview series again. We seemed to have a really good hit last year when we talked with Connor Stoley, Carter Gray, yep. Zach Fleer from 270 Hoops. So
as well as
Caitlin McKinney.
Caitlin McKinney from West Carrollton.
Yep. So we wanted to replicate that, but we wanted to take it a step further. So we wanted to start reaching out to some different guys that have made an impact in the Dayton area high school basketball scene that maybe have taken that next step, whether that be they're playing college basketball at the D1 level, whether it's they're playing professionally overseas, or even some of them may have been in the NBA or G League. So it's a really exciting series, and it really gives us an opportunity to, you know, let you guys hear from local legends, honestly. So
no, yeah, and that's really what it comes down to is that kind of, we'll call it our local legend series.
Yeah.
So first up for you guys, and to introduce this, we are going to be talking with Ryan Mikesell from our very own University of Dayton Flyers.
Yep, he's a 2015 St. Henry alum as well. Definitely appreciative of Ryan taking a time out to talk with us. Also want to give a shout out to a good friend of mine, Xander Smart, with Committed to My Craft training. He does training with college athletes. He's a professional athlete. He's really good at what he does. And, you know, shout out to Xander for making this connection so we could have this interview with Ryan and most of these guys we're going to talk to these next couple of weeks. But as you said, you know, Ryan Mikesell will be first up, and we'll jump right into this.
All right, guys. So as we stated, we've got Ryan Mikesell from the University of Dayton with us today. Ryan, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for contacting me. I'm glad we were able to figure out a time to do this, and I'm happy to be here.
Well, for all of our listeners out there, you probably know Ryan Mikesell from the University of Dayton. He's been with the Flyers since he graduated from St. Henry in 2015. Just wrapped up his senior year as a grad student for the Flyers. And we'll get into your time at UD here shortly, Ryan. But to start off, as I mentioned, you did come from St. Henry. And with this being kind of a high school basketball podcast, talk to us a little bit about your high school career at St. Henry.
Yeah, so I graduated in 2015. During my time there, we played, we had some really good teams. My freshman year was probably my best year in terms of getting close to state. We made the regional, we ended up losing to Jackson Center. My sophomore year, we probably had our most talented team. Unfortunately, we kind of got upset in the district finals against Delta St. John's. And then my junior year, we got beat by Liberty Bend, made the district finals again. And then my senior year, record-wise, it was my best year. I think we ended up like 25-3. I was player of the year in the conference, player of the year, first team, all state. So individually, I had a really good season. We ended up getting beat by LVC, who had some Division I players themselves. They had Dante Walton, Trey Cobb. I think David Sinsko was on the team at the time. So, I was kind of basically where I developed as a player. I couldn't express my love for the coach, Eric Rosenbeck. He really, taught me a lot there. I really grew as a player. And obviously, I ended up getting a scholarship to go to the University of Dayton. And, the rest is kind of history.
Yeah, so just talking about, I know you obviously, we all know that you ended up with UD. What other offers or looks did you get initially coming out of high school? And then ultimately, why did you choose Dayton?
Yeah, so I pretty much been offered by most of the mid-majors in the Midwest area, whether it was MAC schools, Horizon League, A-10, and then I also had some looks with the Big Ten. You know, I was one of those guys who's kind of a fringe Big Ten player just because of my, it kind of been my lack of athleticism. But there's one of those things where I could have waited around a week for a Big Ten offer, but I wanted to go somewhere where I was kind of a priority. And, you know, R.C. Miller, who's now at IU or Indiana, you know, started recruiting me my junior year, and they were pretty consistent throughout my entire recruiting process. So I ended up, you know, signing with them and playing for him for 2 years, and then he went on and left Indiana, and then I played, to Coach Grant for the last three.
Speaking of high major and mid major, you know, especially your senior year at St. Henry, I mean, you had Kyle Arnes from Versailles in that conference with you, who's at Michigan State. You had Luke Napke and Ryan Bruns from Marion Local. Talk about the rivalry or relationship that you guys had together, being really the three best players, four best players in the conference, really throughout your high school careers.
Yeah, it was awesome to play against that type of competition every night in terms of. A small town league is what we're known for with the MAC, and not a lot of Division One, Division Two players play in that league. And for us to be able to be that competitive and have so many guys end up playing college basketball, it was pretty special. Honestly, I think, you know, personally, that was the best class ever coming out of the MAC, our league, since I can remember. I know growing up, I watched guys like Kurt Hilton who played at JV. You know, we had some guys in St. Henry who played college football, but there wasn't too many who played college basketball. And for us to have so many guys in the league to play Division I was pretty special. And, you know, I obviously was able to develop relationships with those guys throughout my entire career. So, you know, it was pretty awesome to watch them play. And we always talked throughout the season and wish each other, you know, good luck. And we supported each other all the way.
No, that's awesome. Awesome. I think next we'll start, we'll wrap up high school here just for everybody out there. Who would you say was the toughest player that you ever faced off against during high school?
In high school, I never played Luke Kennard, in an actual game. We always played open gym, but he was obviously super skilled, crafty, lefty, but there's this guy named Dakota Mathias, and I'm sure, you know, you've heard of him. He played at Purdue, one of the best. I think he's like the greatest shooter in Purdue history. But you know, every year we would scrimmage them, and I would say he's probably, you know, one of the top guys that I've ever played against, just because he's one of the guys you look at and you're like, okay, he can't be the real deal. And next thing you know, he has 30 ball and, you know, 8 rebounds and assists. Like, it was just one of those things where he's so smooth and so crafty and so efficient. You couldn't really do too much, but if you take away something, he was skilled enough to counter back and score a different way. So, I would say probably Luke Kennard, Dakota Mathias. I kind of caught Xavier Simpson right when he was developing, so right before he became, you know, the player he was at Michigan and when he went to Lima Senior. I mean, obviously Kyle Arnes averaged, I think, 30 points in high school, so... I wouldn't say there's one specific guy, but there's a lot of great players.
Yeah.
And then going a little further, what would you say was your favorite memory or your best memory as a member of St. Henry's team?
That was, I don't know. There's so many. Probably my senior year, having the season we had. It was one of the best seasons that in St. Henry history. Unfortunately, we got upset in the tournament, but, just kind of finishing out your career with your friends that you grew up all your entire childhood with, your entire life, and it was really, you know, just special. We ended up being that champs, we were undefeated in conference, and we had a really good season. The community was sold out every game we went through. Like, our gymnasium was super loud, and it was always a fun atmosphere of playing. So I wouldn't say there's one specific memory, but I think my senior year is what stands out most.
That's awesome. So we'll kind of transition now into your time at UD. I mean, obviously your career got off to a hot start. I mean, freshman year playing in two-thirds of the games, sophomore year, you know, at least playing in all 32, starting over two-thirds of those. What would you say it was like getting off to your start at UD, as well as kind of managing some of those early expectations with being, you know, a local kid and everything?
Yeah, I mean, my first game, I think it was like one of the highest debuts a freshman in terms of scoring. I think I ended up with like 21 or 22 points.
Yep, it was 21 against Southeast Missouri State.
Yeah. So, you know, that first game, I was really nervous, honestly. Like going into the game, you know, my first thought was, one, don't get scored on, and two, don't airball when you take your first shot. Unfortunately, my first shot, I was able to hit a three right in the corner. So that kind of got the jitters out right away and ended up playing really well. You know, throughout the season, it was never, you know, perfect. Obviously, a lot of ups and downs. My minutes early on was a lot, and then towards the middle of the season, in the conference play, they decreased just because I just physically wasn't ready to play, you know, 40 minutes of college basketball in terms of, you know, it wasn't really the offense, it was more defensively. I had a lot to learn. And Archie Miller, that's like his, you know, his MO, his defense. So if you can play defense, you're going to find minutes. And unfortunately, I was just too inconsistent on that end. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in terms of, you know, the community and having that pressure, I don't think there was a lot of pressure. I think, you know, everybody's very supportive of me just going and making an impact, and I was able to do that, you know, with my minutes I played. It wasn't a lot, but I was able to push guys in practice. And we ended up having a really good season. We went on to that state tournament, unfortunately lost to Syracuse, who went to the Final Four that year. But, you know, I thought it was a successful freshman year in terms of just getting acclimated and kind of getting my feet wet.
Yeah, and anytime you make the NCAA tournament, I'm sure that's got to be a goal. Obviously, your goal is to win a national championship, but to make the NCAA tournament has to be, you know, a successful, especially for Dayton, having that tradition of being a tournament team pretty much every year.
For sure.
So after, you know, we talked about your underclassmen years. Unfortunately, your junior year, you ended up missing the season due to having some off-season surgery on your hips. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, first of all, what ended up happening, and two, kind of what your rehab was like, and how you still were able to stay connected with the team and your role while you were sitting out.
Yeah, so my entire academic year, I sat out two hip surgeries following my sophomore season. I would say the whole, you know, hip situation started my sophomore year at the beginning of the season. You know, my freshman year I played sparingly, and so that often kind of worked my butt off to get into the rotation and play some more meaningful minutes. And fortunately, I was able to do that. I ended up starting at the beginning of the season. I played really well in preseason. We went to actually Spain in the summer, and you know, I was able to get a starting spot. I played really well there. I think I almost averaged like a triple double there. Like, I was playing really well. I had a lot of confidence. And then towards the middle of the season, I started to get you know, the sharp hip pain in both my hips. And then, you know, as the season went on, I couldn't hardly move in terms of you know, defensively. If you can't move side to side, you really have no shot. So I was going to games hoping that, you know, my guys weren't really, you know, the most quick, most agile, just because I didn't want to get exposed out there. So, you know, towards the end of the season, Davis Williams, who's like one of my best friends, who was also a Dayton local, ended up taking most of my minutes, and he took my starting spot. He excelled, and he did really well, and I was super proud of him to see him, you know, step up like that. But, yeah, so moving on to the end of the season, I went to our trainer and asked him, I said, hey, like, I can't, you know, I don't want to play basketball if I'm going to be in this much pain. So we ended up going to the doctor and having to get bilateral hip surgery. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, throughout my entire redshirt career, I was doing a lot of rehab, wasn't on the court much, but I was still, you know, focused on the team and making sure our team mindset was in the right place. There was a lot of change going on. The new coaching staff coming in. So it was almost kind of like a transfer year for me, but staying at the same school because I was still learning a new system. But I was able to learn from a distance, which I think definitely helped me the following year when I could play in terms of fitting in with the team and understanding everything in terms of defensive schemes, you know, what kind of offense Coach Grant, what kind of shots he was looking looking for. So, you know, that was the biggest thing. I was just trying to make sure I stayed with the team and had an influence with all those guys and make sure their head was okay throughout the entire season.
No, that's awesome. And then kind of take us in. So you came back, obviously, for your redshirt junior year. You know, you played in pretty much every game. You started all of them, you know, had a really good year. And then obviously then this year you come back as a seasonal guy. You know, you're a fifth year senior coming back, you know, returning starter. And you guys got off to a heck of a start. And I mean, to where the season ended where it did, you know, we're the number two team in the country. Give us kind of – take us on that ride a little bit.
Shit, I don't know where to begin. You know, we had, I think, arguably the best regular – I mean, unfortunately, it's the regular season, but regular season was next year, my senior year. So we're kind of starting my junior year. You know, we had a lot of new guys coming in, you know, it was Obi's first year. He was a redshirt freshman. I kind of knew what he was capable of. And he kind of had a slow start as a redshirt freshman, and then obviously towards the tail end, he really picked it up and kind of got on the teams in terms of the NBA and whatnot. But, you know, guys like Jalen and myself and Trey, we really developed that my redshirt junior year, and we were able to get that experience and understand kind of what Coach Grant wanted with everything. And then obviously moving towards this past season, it really showed our, you know, the team chemistry we had and the experience we had. We were just out there playing, and it was almost like, you know, we were just five guys on the court just hooping, not really thinking too much. You know, basketball is such a, you know, mental sport. When you're just out there playing and reacting and having fun, it makes it so much better. And I think you could tell that this year we really, you know, we were one of the most consistent teams all season. I think we ended up on like a 21 or 22 game win streak.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously for it to come to a screeching halt the way it did is, you know, really sickening, honestly. As a senior, you wanted to kind of leave your legacy. You wanted to go out and have some closure, and not to get that is bad, and at least kind of with an emptiness. But, you know, it's life. Life hits you in certain ways you can't control. But I'm really grateful for the opportunity to even wear the jersey and to have a career like I did. For the end, you know, our last game we won, ended up going 18-0. It was the first time in conference history somebody's ever done that.
Yeah.
So I went out as a champion. I wasn't a national champion, but I was the champion at the very least. So,
well, yeah. I was going to say, and it speaks to your career that you're the only UD men's basketball player ever to be a part of three A-10 championship teams.
Yeah.
So that's a heck of a legacy to leave.
Yeah. I was. So there was one record that I really was aiming for. It was the all-time win.
Mm.
And a dating career, and I was right there. I think Scoochie, Kyle, and Kendall, all those guys, they ended up with 102 games, and I was right at 99. So I needed four more games to top them, and that was like on my radar. Like, I was on everybody, you know, in practice and stuff like that. Like, that was really, you know, a big motivation for me. I wanted to get to that mark, and I wanted to win as many games as possible to set me forward and set me ahead of everyone. But unfortunately, a virus stopped that from happening.
Yeah.
Well, and two, I mean, one thing I want to point out too is, you know, you talked about junior year with your hip surgeries, you know, the issue, you need your hips to play defense, and you were honorable mention by Seth Davis for the all glue team. So to go from where you were sophomore year to senior year, one of the better defensive players in the country, that's got to be, you know, a testament to your work ethic and just Dayton's, you know, philosophy of defensive basketball.
Yeah,
that was one area where I knew I needed to get better if I wanted to play the minutes I wanted to play. You know, offensively, I always, you know, had a knack of just knowing where my spots were and just being a high IQ player. But defensively is where I needed to improve, and I and I thought that was my biggest improvement. Honestly, I was, you know, my redshirt junior year, you know, I was still kind of getting used to my new hips and understanding angles and whatnot. And in my senior year, I thought I really made strides in terms of understanding, you know, angles and anticipating and honestly just having a better IQ and better understanding on defense of knowing where guys want to go and knowing their tendencies and just really locking in on that end. I think that's why we were one of the best teams, obviously in our conference, but in the country, because mm-hmm. we were so good defensively. And, you know, not only myself, but our whole team, we were able to switch pretty much 1 through 4, even 1 through 5 possibilities. And I think that's why we were so good defensively.
Yep. No, certainly. So stepping away from the basketball court a little bit, you know, you go to UD, you get your degree in mechanical engineering.
Yep.
You come back your senior year, you go get a master's in educational leadership. You know, you end up on the academic all A-10 2 years straight, you know, the Dayton all academic team. Tell us a little bit about the academic side of being a student athlete. Just from that regard.
Yeah, so school has always been important to me and my family. My parents were both teachers, so I couldn't really get away with slacking, you know, in school by any means. If I ever did bad on tests or if I made any trouble at school, my mom was a teacher at the same school I went to, so I couldn't really get away with anything. She'd known before I even got home. So, you know, school was a big deal to me, and I wanted to pick a school that would challenge me, and I would be able to get a meaningful degree. And I've always just had I wouldn't say a passion, but I really like math, science, you know, physics and stuff like that. I'd much rather do that, work with numbers, than write papers and read books. So that's kind of why I went with a mechanical engineering degree. It was very challenging at times. You know, as a student athlete, time management. Yeah, your time management has to be, you know, pretty much flawless in terms of knowing your schedule, because there's not a lot of time during the day where you have free. So, you know, making sure you're on top of your books and obviously going to weights and practice and treatment and study hall, it just kind of never ends. And once you kind of develop that routine, you just kind of get with the routine and, you know, just move forward with that. Unfortunately, I had a lot of resources that day that helped me out. And, you know, I was able to obviously get my bachelor's in mechanical engineering and then start my master's program.
I was going to say, it's hard enough being a student athlete in any case, let alone being an engineering student at a school like UD. So, I mean, hats off in that regard. I mean, it's that's a heck of an accomplishment.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It wasn't easy. Trust me, I had to sacrifice a lot of social time and, you know, stuff that usual college kids did. But, you know, I think it's going to pay off in the end once the ball starts bouncing. I'll be able to kind of slide into a pretty good job, hopefully, and kind of move forward with that.
So I think we have no doubt about that.
Yeah, so as we kind of get ready to end here, Ryan, the last thing we wanted to talk about is kind of what's next for you. As you said, you do have, you know, with your master's degree in educational leadership and the mechanical engineering undergrad, you know, are you planning on, you know, finding a job, or are you planning on trying to play basketball going forward?
Yeah, so right now my future, you know, for the next 5 to 10 years, I want to play professional basketball, whether that's overseas. You know, obviously everybody wants to play in the NBA, but, you know, wherever that kind of takes you, I'm going to go now. I just hired an agent, so I found somebody who represents me. You know, right now I'm just kind of training and kind of staying ready and preparing for the next professional basketball season, wherever that is for me. Obviously, with the whole virus situation, it's kind of unknown, especially the NBA. But yeah, right now I'm kind of gearing my next 5 to 10 years for that. And obviously, the ball is going to stop bouncing at some point. So, you know, I think I'll have some opportunities, whether it's in the job field or if I want to go in a coaching. I've had some NBA scouts ask me if I wanted to get into coaching, and some college, my old college coaches asked me if I ever wanted to get into coaching. I could ask them for any sort of recommendations or anything like that. So, I have a passion for sports. That's one thing that's always been consistent in my life. Come from small town, wasn't a lot to do, so sports has kind of been everything for me. So, my dream job, I think, would be to work for like Nike and design shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be pretty cool. But obviously, who knows what's going to happen. But yeah, as of right now, I want to play basketball for as long as I can. And after that, I guess I have to grow up and get a real job.
Cool, Ryan. Well, hey, thank you again for your time. We wanted to kick off what we're calling our local legend series with a true local legend from a high school basketball standpoint and a college standpoint. So again, we appreciate it. I think I speak for both of us when I say we hope the basketball doesn't stop bouncing anytime soon. So congratulations on a great career, and we certainly wish you all the best moving forward.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Like I said, thanks for reaching out. I'm glad we were able to do this. I have a lot of love for all the local athletes in the area. It's pretty cool just to see everybody grow and succeed and excel at a high level. And for all the local kids, it just, it means a lot to the younger kids. We were young ones, and we looked up to all the local older athletes, and for us to be in that same position, I think we should need to take advantage of that and basically be a good positive influence for the younger athletes coming up.
Yep. So with that, I guess, again, thank you for your time. We appreciate it, and we wish you all the best.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate
cool.
it. Thank you.
Yep, thanks.
Talk to you.
Take care. Bye.
All right, guys, so again, we want to thank Ryan for his time in that he set aside from training, from working to continue that career, his basketball career, now that his college career has ended. So, Tony, just share some of your thoughts on our discussion with Ryan, on what we talked about or just in general.
Well, I mean, one of the biggest things that stood out to me was his work ethic. You talk about coming into a program like Dayton that is historically known, as one of the better mid-majors in the country, and to be able to contribute as early as he did as a freshman and sophomore. I mean, that doesn't come easy. And everyone wants to talk about how good Obi Toppin was and, how Obi Toppin took the A-10 by storm. But that took hard work. I mean, the athletes have to work. You have to be willing to put in the extra hours in the gym, grind, all that stuff. You have to be willing to work hard. And I think Ryan was a great testament to that, not just early in his Dayton career, but coming off of an injury like he did. I mean, that hip injury, just one hip can really affect an athlete. In his case, you got two. And like I mentioned when we were talking with him, to go from that type of surgery to your honorable mention all defensive team by a CBS contributor, I mean, that's impressive in and of itself. And then my last real big takeaway from him, and really one thing I hope all kids take away, is, academics, athletes are always student athletes first. And being able to, get a degree like mechanical engineering as an undergrad while playing basketball for a legendary program like Dayton, that's really impressive. I already had a lot of respect for Ryan Mikesell. I've gained even more having a conversation with him today. Great young man, great basketball player. And, kind of like what you said, I certainly hope the basketball is not done bouncing. But what were your thoughts?
I mean, my thoughts are pretty much echoing your own. If there were three takeaways that I would put on this for any of the high school kids out here listening, one, the work ethic. One thing he said that stood out to me was, between practice, between weights, between treatment, study hall, your time management has to be flawless, and you have to commit time to all of those aspects. Again, student athletes, Ryan had all sorts of academic accolades to back up everything that he was doing. But to do that in such a demanding field as, as comes with a mechanical engineering degree, let alone from a very highly respected academic school such as the University of Dayton, that's not easy if you're just a student, let alone playing basketball at the level that he did, and the amount of commitment that that takes is outstanding. Second is just that will to, even when things weren't going his way his sophomore year, being that team player, being supportive. Yep. He mentioned as he saw a drop in his play due to some of the issues he was having with his hips, a teammate stepped up and took advantage of the situation that was being provided by Ryan having that injury and from falling off, and to not be bitter about that, not to harbor any of those, resentments and things that everyone could, we could all agree wouldn't be the hardest thing in the world. We would all be guilty of it, I would guess, but to put that aside, to show his commitment to the betterment of his team, even in a negative situation for him personally, I think speaks more to his character than almost anything.
Yeah.
And then the third is, how he's handling this part of his career. He's at a stage where, he's got a degree, he's got a master's degree at that. And to keep all of his options open, obviously Ryan's first and foremost, he's a basketball player and that's what he's going to pursue. But all of the hard work that has come before to make sure that he has that academic background, allows him the freedom to pursue that, knowing that he will have plenty of options outside of that, whether it be coaching due to his determination and his focus on becoming a better player himself and thus being able to share that information, or his continued commitment to academics provides him that opportunity to step into the working field, if and when that time comes, when the ball stops bouncing, whenever that may be. But those three things, that's what every kid should strive for.
Right.
If we couldn't have picked a better individual, I think, to start off this local legend series, because as a basketball player, as a teammate, as a student, as a person, that's a person that a lot of kids can learn lessons from and can look to exemplify.
Absolutely. That's, that's why we're doing this, Seth. It's to do all this. And, it's good to hear from these guys. A lot of these players that we're going to hear from, everyone knows them as basketball players and strictly basketball players. And that's great, but we want to know about them as people too. So we're going to enjoy reminiscing like we enjoyed it with Ryan today. We're going to enjoy the coming up names. Again, we're not going to tease the names out right away. Although we want you guys to definitely be looking forward to it, we do want to, have some fun with this. So I will tell you that coming up, we do have several more college athletes that like Ryan that are playing D1 basketball. And we do have a special guest here coming up soon that is actually another former Flyer that's actually played, had some time in the G League and NBA. So, I know I'm looking forward to the Seth. I think it spoke for both of us when, we're excited to see what Ryan does in his future, as well as, continuing to talk to more athletes the next couple of days and weeks and doing more of this. So I think that's going to wrap up this first one here with Ryan. Thanks, guys, for listening in, and check back in for more interviews coming up.
I couldn't have said it better myself. We'll talk to you next time.